Hello and welcome to Beyond the Bio. Today I'm joined by Rebecca Whitney, who is the founder of Advisory 9, a growth strategist with over 30 years of experience. Obviously, you don't look like you're old enough to have that experience. So I was like, wow, 30 years in marketing, operations and leadership. But Rebecca is known for making complex business challenges feel clear, doable and even fun, bringing real results across industries. Her latest focus is building an online community for business leaders who want to stay on the cutting edge of growth, but without falling into the same old hustle traps. Rebecca loves talking about tech, great plays, travel adventures, and dogs. And I know some of these things because how did we meet, Rebecca?
We met in LA, actually, at an amazing retreat. And you might have seen me as I was walking around LA making friends with all the dogs along the way, because I did do that there. So, you know, we had a lovely time getting to know each other over an amazing 3-day event. So really glad to see you again.
Yeah, likewise. And I do like to sometimes talk about how I met my guests, because one of the things that we talk about on the show often is networking and the power of networking and how you can build those relationships and how they then evolve into future collaborations and all sorts of wonderful things.
A great thing to talk about. I think the thing people don't realize is it takes a little bit of effort, even as connected as we are these days, right? So you meet and you have these great exchanges, these great times and great learnings. But I really appreciated both your continued outreach and conversation in that little group we created. And it's just been so inspiring since. So I think people forget that follow-up. And I'm just so appreciative we've landed here because...
Strong group.
Yeah strong
group. WhatsApp group is strong. Let's get stuck in then. So, Rebecca, you've had over 30 years of experience across marketing ops and leadership. What has led you now to this new focus on systems, AI, and authentic connection?
It's a great question. And I actually recently wrote down some notes, trying to see the through line myself, because I actually started in the military, as you can tell, US-based, and went into the military. And even there, I started working with data and systems. I worked in the post office. And if anybody has been around the mail system of any country, you know that that's an amazing system, right? That you can drop something in a box and it get to the right person, you know, a day or two later. And I think I just started appreciating data and technology. And I was really lucky to be in a group of forward thinkers working within early days of model building. And so when AI came about, I now have this experience of working in marketing, being a part of a US public company and helping lead both their marketing and operations, helping them basically 4X in 4 years. And the thing I realized is people don't often realize you have to go slow to go fast. You have to really build these foundations. And so I watched AI start to become such a popular thing, but realizing people still hadn't really standardized or created those foundations to really make good use of it. So I started seeing myself as this technical conduit. I can talk about technology without making it feel too hard and making it fun even. And so I just started, how can I take my marketing and operations experience and overlay it with this newfound craze around AI, but then help businesses actually upgrade enough that they can make real use of it. So I think it was my own curiosity and also coming out of it wasn't easy to 4X a company that didn't want to work and have systems, right? So to be able to accomplish that, despite that, I thought, gosh, this could be so much easier. So that's how I landed here.
Amazing. And you're now building a community for leaders who want to grow without the grind, which I love. So what does growth without hustle mean to you? Because I feel like I need to learn about this.
It actually, one of the best things we do is we actually find out what it means to you. So what does freedom feel like? You know, we build these businesses, we start these businesses, and we don't start them to grind. We don't start them to necessarily hustle. We start them for a reason. And often that reason is time. Often that reason is financial freedom. Often that reason is to build something that's a legacy. So by starting with that question, it helps us then build in, well, where's that gap? You know, if it was time and you're not getting that time, where is it going? Where can we focus and find that one thing? And then we bring in some frameworks that help you understand how to really identify, isolate, and then take action to do what we call fix it forevers. So those things that businesses tend to just let stay as an issue because nobody ever takes the time or really understands or collects people together. And so if you understand why you went into business, what's the gap, and then use a couple of simple frameworks to be able to start fixing those things forever, you start finding that freedom. So, you know, for me, mine is the ability to work from anywhere, to be able to travel and to be able to feel like it's not a balance, but I want to be able to work when I want to work and not work when I don't want to work. And, you know, finding that has been a real surgical type of process that I'd like to share with everybody.
And do you feel like you've nailed that? Have you got
this? I have done a pretty good job, but that is because I have taken the time to figure out what systems to use, who I can leverage, because often, you know, it's not the how, it's the who, right? I think it's Dan Martell's book that talks about that when we have these gaps of time, it's not necessarily how do I get more time or how do I fix that system? Sometimes the answer is who are you missing on your team, or who are you not elevating to the right level, or even who have you not given permission to? That you might have that person on your team, but you haven't given them the permission to step up and stand in. And so we talk a little bit about glitches, gauntlets, and gaps. And so, you know, when something is glitchy, you know, those are things you can put little checklists in place and help. And when it's a gap, that's probably a who. Where most people get stuck is they've created these gauntlets for themselves or their team. And those are really hard to kind of pull apart and identify. So I think that's where I've been able to find it a bit, because I saw that even if I didn't have a name for it originally, it's like, huh, what is the thing that just feels like I'm running a marathon all the time? And there is where you should start, right there.
Yeah, I totally get it. Because once you're in it, you can't then see all these things. So you need an expert like you to come in and be able to see it from that outside perspective and having seen it multiple times elsewhere as well.
Absolutely.
I want to move on and talk to you about authentic AI, which is something that you speak about a lot. And I feel like that's such a powerful phrase. What would you say that looks like in practice for business leaders today?
Absolutely. I think authentic AI, it also means different things. For some people, they really want it to be their voice, or they don't want AI to do the thing that they love. They want to continue doing that. What we try to teach, because we do in any of our frameworks, we're probably going to have you work with AI a bit to help come up with ideas and break through those things that might be holding you back. But we want it to never be in replacement of. We always want people to feel like what they're working with AI is actually, it's expanding their capabilities. It's expanding their creativity. So I hear some folks say, gosh, I just, you know, I use AI to write emails, but it never sounds like me. And one of my first questions would be, maybe don't start with writing emails. You know, first of all, there's so many other things that AI can do. And I even do it to just help me with Excel sometimes, or Google Sheets, you know, how do I fix this formula? And so I try to teach that if you're opposed to using AI because of its, you feel it's inauthentic, use it for anything but content. Use it for anything but content, whether that's figuring out something math-wise or taking a picture like I did of a thermostat in a hotel room in London that I couldn't figure out how to work, and ChatGPT told me how to work it, and really start there. And then as you are looking to build content, really make sure you're feeding it with your best of your best, so that, and then one of the key things people don't remember to do, feed back your final draft. So if you do use AI for content and you make edits to it, tell it what you made edits to, and you would be amazed how much smarter and better and more authentic that can become.
That is such a great tip. That is such a great tip. You made me smile there talking about some of the uses that you've used AI for that perhaps people might not think of. Let me tell you two funny-ish things that I've used it for in the last couple of weeks. So one, I used it when I wasn't feeling very well the other week and hadn't done a food shop and just had loads of very random things in my fridge. And I said, this is what I've got. Tell me what I can make for dinner with these items. And it gave me some great suggestions. And then the other thing was, I was just in Mallorca for the weekend at a friend's place the other week. and I got about 30 mosquito bites on my legs, and a couple of them blew up. This is quite gross, so maybe this needs to come with a trigger warning for people, but a couple of them blew up, and they were like they were huge blisters with like yellow stuff in them, and I was like, oh my God, they are gross. I took a picture, like you with your thermostat, took a picture, uploaded the picture to chat and said, Do I need medical attention for these bites? I've got 27 of them on my legs. And sure enough, I did. So that was quite funny. But yeah, I've used it for all sorts. I mean, to write texts to guys. It's good. Yes. The bit about how you tweak it and giving it the final draft.
Absolutely. And when people miss that, they say, I have to change it every time. And I almost always know that means they're not remembering to have that feedback loop. And so that's so important. And even as I watch people who haven't been using it as much as you have, as much as I have, they're discovering whole new ways because they're coming in a different way. So my niece just posted that she's like, wait, what is this ChatGPT? Like literally this happened today. And she had taken a picture of her front entryway and asked it to give her an idea of how that could be decorated differently. And it blew her mind. And of course, I hadn't really thought about it from the interior decoration. And so those are so many ways you can use AI authentically. So my goal is not only to help people cross that line to start using it, it's then to think about all the ways that it gives you the space to do the thing you're really great at or the thing you really love. And it's going to take time. It's not a quick answer. It does take time to train. It takes time to learn how to use it. It even takes time to pick which one you want to use because people definitely have their preferences and new things coming. But if you think about it more as that assistant and that co-conspirator and brainstorming, if you think about it anything other than just your voice, that'll help you go a long way with it.
I totally agree. How are you personally using AI to enhance your connection with your audience rather than to replace it?
It's also a great question. A couple of things. I've just recently been using it to actually take a look at when I'm going to be meeting with somebody, just doing some basic research. And so you probably know you can set these tools to kind of look around the internet and find things, even look in past meetings that you've had. And so we can't all remember everything, right? The world, the amount of information that is being added to the world now, you know, every moment of every day. And so I've just taken off that mental load of trying to remember everything all of the time and leaning into it to help me better prepare it when I'm in the energetic space to prepare for it. So that's been one really good use of it. And of course, I'm also using it in order to, you know, look back for things that I might have missed. You know, it's very important to me to come through for my clients and make sure that they have what they need and what I've promised. And so, you know, I use it to make sure that I'm not letting things slip through the cracks. And anytime we're on good footing and we've given people what they needed when they needed it, I feel like that helps with relationships. And then I write my content. It's one of the places, for the most part, if anything comes from us at Advisory 9, it's probably been written by me. Maybe if it's ever aided by AI, I'll say that. But it does help me. I do use it to help me brainstorm and also think through what's happening in the world today, this week, to give me ideas. So if I'm not quite, nothing's come to mind for what I might want to write about, we don't use a content calendar for this particular edition. I like it to come from the heart. But sometimes I need help, and AI is a great way to do that.
And you've mentioned tools that can turn meetings into content. Mm-hmm. How are you seeing this used well, and does it ever go wrong? Have you got any tips to help with this?
Yeah, I think anything can go wrong. Always read the output before you put it anywhere else. We're a bit away from that.
People don't. Sure, okay,
I was going to say somebody somewhere is doing this, I'm sure, but anybody who wants it to be authentic or just correct is probably going to want to have that stopgap where you say, oh, is this actually right? So I've taken videos or transcripts from calls. There's tools where you can take YouTube videos and actually have them, you know, transcribe and help add content. And so, you know, it comes all the way back into the prompting, which is one of the things when we are working with teams to help them think about AI first and use it first, really helping to understand the context and the prompting. And they don't have to be these long. For a while, everybody was saying it had to be like 1,000 words. They just have to be smart. You just have to be very clear about what you're looking to do. So for instance, if you wanted to take this podcast and we want to create pieces of content from it, you know, it's not just saying, hey, create pieces of content. It's being pretty specific around, this is my audience. These are the types of social media that I use. This is, you know, my voice because I've trained you on that in this other area. Help me now draft something. I'm still going to want to read it, but that gets you a lot closer. So don't just use the tools, what the tools give you. It really is creating your own ecosystem, a little factory, if you will, where you know the pieces that have been created to prompt it and to get that output are going to work well for you. Mm-hmm. I tend to use Fireflies granola. I know it's not about tools. And then I actually put that into either ChatGPT or Claude, depending on the situation that I'm in. We're not at a space yet where you can probably do all of the things in one area. So just experiment, be willing to try a couple and see what seems most to you.
Yeah. Great advice there. And some business owners are even exploring AI versions of themselves. Mm-hmm. What is your take on that trend? Is it a useful shortcut or is this a slippery slope?
I think useful. I've used a couple of them. So as somebody who relies on coaches to make me better in life, it is nice when I have been able to access the coach without directly, you know, using their AI avatar, if you will. And I think it's about being really real, that's what it is, right? So this is not me. This is an amalgamation of my information and, you know, just being cautious with that. To date, I haven't seen anybody use it in a way that is, you know, trying to create distance or being lazy, if you will. They really are trying to bring another level of access and information. And aren't we all a little bit freer when we can ask something of a computer and not a person? So if you have their insight and information and you know it's been trained on their mindset as much as possible, sometimes you might ask the question, you might not ask them in person. And that could get you really unstuck sometimes. And so I'm for it. We're actually working with some teams that are looking to do that. I think, you know, creating the little avatar that goes with it, that's cute, but unnecessary. Most of us are still willing to, you know, kind of go back and forth in a solid text capacity and really get that information we need.
Love it. Yeah, I've not dabbled with that, but it's, I mean, there's just so much to go at, isn't there? There's just like, where do you start with all of these things? But yeah, I'm open-minded, it would be fair to say. Tell me about your weekly Friday edition. How did it start? And what role is this playing in your visibility strategy?
That's my favorite thing I do all week. And if you know me or listen to me over time, you'll hear me say my favorite thing a lot. I do have a lot of favorite things. So I won't fess up to that now.
That's fine.
Yeah, we have a lot of, like, now we have 5 best friends and I'm here for it. So it actually started, my coach, Lisa Johnson, who a lot of people know, she is very clear about needing to have that cadence to be in front of your audience on a consistent, not constant basis, just consistent. And I took that to heart. I remember one week I was just inspired to write. And I thought, oh, this is a really good lesson. And so I decided in that moment to write it. But I knew I also, like, if I just wrote that and sent it out without a commitment. And so instead of writing just one, I wrote 2, just so I'd have that week's and the next week's. And then I thought, okay, now starting now, you're actually going to write this weekly newsletter. And just, I remember making the deal with myself that I knew I needed, as a marketer, right, as a direct marketer at that, somebody who grew up in the advent of direct mail and emails. And I knew that having that individual, more individual touch point was really important. What I also came to realize is I loved it. I loved observing the world around me every week and saying, what of this not only shares a bit about me personally so that people get to know me better, but what also shares a tip or a tool, something I've learned in business. Because over time, I've been lucky to be a part of some amazing trainings and frameworks and, you know, probably have spent, but had spent on me or have spent myself, you know, probably close to 7 figures at this point on, you know, personal development and company trainings. And so I love sharing those. And so it started out as I knew I needed to be more consistent, and then it became a labor of love. And now it's just become such a fun part of my week that I can't wait to dive in every week.
Amazing. And you've said that visibility should feel energizing, not exhausting. How can systems and automation support that?
If we don't have to build everything from the ground up every time, how much more room do we have to be creative or to recognize a pattern that's an issue? And so anytime I'm working with teams or individual leaders, I try to say, like, if you've done something more than two times, you might consider what aspects of that you can automate. And even more so now in the world of AI and agents and things like that. But start small. Don't start thinking of it as a tech answer. Think of it as just an analog situation. So sometimes if I'm recognizing I'm doing something a couple of times, I'll just, you know, pick up a sticky note and I'll just write down, what have I done, like, each time? And that's the start of my checklist. And so for somebody who's very tech oriented, it's not about the technology. It's about giving us back this time. It's about finding ways to make our lives easier. And the tech is making it easier and easier. Like when I text somebody happy birthday and it realizes I don't have them in my phone as a birthday today, it'll ask me if I want to add that. Like, that type of technology is really helpful. But most people try to jump to technology or they try to jump to automation and AI and they get overwhelmed because they haven't kind of done the small steps first. So it's all about opening up your creativity. And if I worked with somebody who was so system avoidant, and what it did is it just caused everybody to have to work every time, put in as much effort as they did the first time. So we never gained those efficiencies over time. And that can really hold back a company's growth, and an individual's stress levels obviously are going to be higher.
How are you keeping your content feeling fresh and human, even when it's part of a system or some sort of repurposed flow of content?
I try to make sure I'm editing. If we are using AI for something or some system that we've created that maybe it's not even AI, I try to make sure I'm editing at least 20-25% of it. There's not a hard and fast rule, but for me, that means that I've looked at it, that I've freshened it up, that I've kept my creativity in it. That's one of the ways that I do it. I also try to use different inputs. So I don't just go back to the same chat in ChatGPT or even the same custom GPT. I try to bring in new, if I see an article on, you know, the best ways to craft your content in Facebook in 2025. And if I see something that's really new that I hadn't seen before, hadn't realized it, I'll make sure to feed that to wherever our automations or our AI systems are using it. So I'm always kind of like I am in life. For the tools I've built, I'm looking to refresh those all the time. And so, you know, and some of that is systems. We have all of the content that we have listed and we have all the workflows that we have listed. And it makes it really easy to go in and say, oh, new information, let's go put it in those three AI tools that we use. And so it just over time, I've just been really insistent that my voice has to still come through, but I don't want to work harder to get more out to people. And so that decision to do both of those things makes you have to look at the world around you and say, okay, how now? And that's actually part of what we're doing in the community is, okay, you know, these are the things that need to change. How? What are some frameworks you can use to get there?
And how are you keeping your knowledge so current and cutting edge? Because there's information everywhere. Is there like a go-to place where you're like, that is where I get my info? Or are you just scanning stuff all the time? Like, how do you do it? Because it blows my mind. Or you could just read all day, couldn't you?
Right. And one of my goals is to help people feel like they don't have to do that, that through our community or through even the Friday editions, that it's enough. I think that's the, for me, I actually went back and forth. I don't want to be on the cutting edge of AI. That would be exhausting to try to keep up with every potential thing that's coming down the path. But I do want to be not far behind that because I want to make sure that I'm passing that information on. So I'm trying to pick the tools, the tech, the prompts that I'm seeing and just giving, spoon feeding that in the way that makes sense for business owners and business leaders. Like, hey, ignore the noise. This is one thing you should really know right now. And so it might be sharing a small 3-minute video that I do on occasion with a group of friends and saying, like, hey, I just saw this. That means like, hey, maybe, you know, this one might be good to pay attention to, but don't feel like you now have to go watch every new YouTube video that's out there. for me, there are a couple of newsletters that I'm not going to be able to name by name because I won't remember them, but I do write about them in my Friday edition newsletter. There are a couple of people that I do follow a little bit, actually through Facebook groups that I've become a part of, where I look for future information. And then I'm in a couple of masterminds myself. And so these community spaces are so important. So I have people who I know we're running at about the same pace and we're sharing information. And it just, for me, I've picked a couple that are AI.
That sounds great. Love that collaboration. Okay. Quick fire wrap up round now before we finish. What's your favorite AI tool right now? You can only choose one.
Granola all day long. It's a...
I've heard of that. Tell me what it is. I'm so not tech savvy.
It's so great because it's a desktop app, like Fireflies or Otter, that can record meetings. But what's nice is I can actually turn it on at any point in time on my desktop and I can have it listen to voicemails that I'm receiving, or I can have it listen in to a recording that I'm playing off of YouTube where I just want to pick up some of the notes. And then it helps combine those notes, has a little bit of a tool where I can ask it questions, like help me write a follow-up. So it's like a meeting add-in, but it sits on your desktop. So it's easy to use for every application.
All right. So you're going to go and check that out after we finish this conversation. Okay. One system or habit that you couldn't live without.
One system or habit. I travel a lot and I have a custom GPT that I've created for my packing list. And so, And so it will look up the weather. It will take the days that I'm going to be there and any events that I mentioned, and it will help me create an Excel-based packing list. And I love it. What I now do is within that, I take pictures as I'm packing of what I have, and it will keep track of what I have and tell me what's left.
Oh, my stylist would love that. She would love that. Okay, finally, what's one thing that you hope listeners or viewers are going to do differently after viewing your episode?
Whatever authentic means to you, OpenAI, go open an AI tool. That could be ChatGPT, Claude, Perplexity, any of the LLMs, and just do something new and different that you've not tried before that feels really authentic to you. So that could be the picture of the space in your house and asking it how it could be look different. That could be having it help you do something in Excel. I love prompting people to do something new you've not done before. And we've given a lot of great examples here of different ways to use it. And just that could be still text, but something new. So I always try to leave any conversation, person, place better than I found it. And that is my better, because if you are trying something new you've not done before, pushing a limit, you're going to keep doing that after this time.
Love it. And I love encouraging people to take action on Beyond the Bio. So that is a perfect take action. Rebecca, I've loved our conversation. And I think you're just so knowledgeable on this stuff. And you've given me loads of ideas to talk to the team about. So thank you so much for that. If anyone listening isn't connected with you, where's the best place for them to find you? And how do they get on the mailing list for Friday edition?
Absolutely. So my website is advisory9.com. So advisory9.com. And you can find the newsletter subscription there, plus the upcoming challenge, if this is before September 2025 that you're hearing it. And I'm on any social platform that I'd love to be on with the tag handle RebWHI9. So RebWHI and the number 9. Hope to see you there.
And we will pop all of those links in the show notes to make it super easy for you to find Rebecca.
Perfect.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you're serious about growing your profile, take our free profile assessment quiz to see where you're at right now and get hints and tips on how to improve your score. You'll find the link to the quiz in the show notes. If you've enjoyed the episode, it would be mint if you'd subscribe, like, and leave a review. See you next Monday.